Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is taken from our second lesson, 2 Corinthians 9. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Can you name the richest American ever? Perhaps the first name that comes to mind is Bill Gates, but it's not him. Without a doubt, the richest American ever was a man by the name of J.D. Rockefeller. Back in the beginning of the 20th century, he founded the Standard Oil Company right around the time when cars and gasoline and oil was at a great need. It's estimated that he amassed a personal fortune in today's money between $300 and $400 billion. That's four times what Bill Gates has today. One day, J.D. Rockefeller was asked, how much money is enough? And with all of his billions in the bank, do you know what he said? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Does that describe your life? Whether you have hundreds of billions of dollars or maybe just a little bit less, doesn't it always feel like we need just a little bit more? There aren't enough hours in the day. There isn't enough time to finish projects at work. There isn't enough energy to finish projects at home. There's not enough money to get what we really want. There's not enough friendship to feel like we're truly loved. We're close, right? But we're always just a bit short. That's our default human condition, isn't it? Never quite satisfied, just a little bit more. I admit I feel that way a lot. There isn't enough of just about anything to stretch as far as we'd like it to. The perfect word for that is scarcity. We go through life with a scarcity mentality. If I just had a little more time, if I just had a little more energy, if I just had a little more money, if I just had a few more friends, but I'm always just a little short. Scarcity. There's just one problem. That's not true. In fact, it's a bold-faced lie straight from the mouth of the devil. Because if I don't have enough, that can mean only one thing, that God hasn't given me enough. What a lie. And if you want to see where all of this started, just go back to the Garden of Eden. And we all know how that went down, don't we? Adam and Eve were in the perfect Garden of Eden, surrounded by everything they could ever possibly desire, and yet somehow the devil convinced them that they didn't have enough. I need that one more fruit. The entire Garden of Eden that God has given me isn't enough. And scarcity entered the world with devastating results. Just think of the result of that mentality. We're never content. In fact, contentment can even seem like a bad thing. Can you ever imagine a presidential candidate standing up on the debate stage and saying, you know what? I love how everything's going. I'm content. What would the reaction be? What? What is he talking about? How can he say he's content? He's crazy. We need this and this and this and this. We're never content, and we're always frazzled, and we're always running, and we're always struggling, and we're always searching for that one more thing, for just a little bit more. And here's the worst part. God begins to seem like he demands more than he gives. And here's one more clear result of this scarcity lie. It hurts to give. Generosity has become painful. Giving has lost its joy. In fact, you could use this as a test to see how far you've fallen for the scarcity lie. How hard is it for you to give up your money? If it's hard and painful for you to give your money away to anyone, you're living with an attitude of scarcity. How did talking about money become a forbidden subject, especially in church? Because I always think I need just a little bit more. Because the devil has convinced me that I'm just a little bit short. Scarcity. I'm so glad you're here today. Because God wants to completely change your mindset. He shares something amazing with us this morning that will free you from this attitude of always being short. And he starts by taking us out to a farm. This is what I mean. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows generously will also reap generously. Think of a farmer. If you don't sow, you won't reap. A farmer must give to receive. And in fact, the more the farmer sows, the more potential he has to reap. That takes tremendous trust, but it works. And God says it works exactly the same with him. The one who sows reaps, the one who gives receives, the one who sows generously receives generously. And so what it all comes down to is trust, right? Is God good for it? Can I count on him? Check out this promise. God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will overflow in every good work. The devil wants to fill you with just a little bit more disease. In contrast, I want you to count how many times God says all or every. God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will overflow in every good work. We do not have a God of scarcity. We have a God of abundance. We do not have a God of just a little bit more. We have a God of all. And it starts with this. God is able to make all grace overflow to you. When you hear that word grace, I want you to think of Jesus. God's grace is his undeserved love for us in Jesus. And how much of that love is there? God describes it like a flood. It's overflowing. Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? Graciously give us all things. How do we get past this I need a little bit more thinking? By focusing on grace. You don't need a little bit more. You have it all. Paul says you will be made rich in every way. In the previous chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Everyone who goes through this life thinking that they don't have enough is missing the big picture. Jesus died for you. Jesus has forgiven you. Jesus saved you. Jesus loves you. You are rich right now. We have a God of abundance. Because being rich is not about a number. You could have all of the money in the world and still be poor. Being rich is an attitude. It's the gift of God's grace. You have something that all the money in the world could never buy. You have peace with God in your hearts. Your worth isn't determined by your bank account. It's determined by Jesus' blood, which covers you. Your freedom isn't the result of your constant struggling. It's a result of the forgiveness that Jesus won for you. You are rich. And no, you won't leave here this morning with another dollar in your pocket, and you won't go home today and find another hour in your day. But you are not one bit short, because you have what you need the most. You are rich with the overflowing love of God. You know, sometimes people talk about different perspectives in life. Are you a glass half empty or a glass half full kind of person? I hope it's neither, because neither is true. The glass is full. God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will overflow in every good work. The glass is full. And so when this scarcity nonsense creeps back into your thinking, tell yourself, God is able. God is able. All. I am rich. We don't have a God of scarcity. We have a God of abundance, and He has blessed you. But God's abundance is not meant to stop with you. Here's how He puts it. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. God has blessed you with all that you need for a purpose. God wants to make you the greatest possible blessing to others. You are not an end in yourself. God's blessings are not meant to come to you and stop. He's got a much bigger purpose for you than that. And isn't that what we want to hear? We want to have a purpose in this life, and so God gives you one. You exist to be a blessing for others. God wants His abundance to flow through you. Have you ever heard of seed money? It's money that is used to start something that you want to be bigger. For example, you might put some seed money into your child's college account and hope that it grows. You might invest seed money in a business and hope that it pays dividends. God's blessings to us aren't ends in themselves. They are like seed money. The possessions and the money and the time and the talents that God has given you are to be sown generously. They're seed money. He doesn't want us to keep our blessings to ourselves any more than a farmer keeps his seed to himself. He gives us blessings to plant them, so that they can grow and flourish and bless even more people with God's abundance. So how do we do this? Listen to what Paul tells us today. Each one should give as he has determined in his heart, not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is connected to your heart. It's a reflection of your faith in Jesus. And that's why you will never hear Pastor Schlicht or myself tell you exactly how much you're supposed to give. That's a decision that you make between you and your Savior. But as you make that decision, ask yourselves, do I have a God of scarcity or a God of abundance? Do I have a God who leaves me just a little bit short, or a God who gives me all? And this is God's promise to you from the words of Jesus himself. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. In fact, the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. Isn't that awesome? Our God gives like brown sugar. Or at least the way I cook with brown sugar. I like to put it in the cup, measuring cup, and then pack it down nice and tight, and then put a little bit more into the top and pack it down again, and then a little bit more and pack it down until you can't pack it anymore, and then just for good measure, throw some on the top and then dump it in. That's how God gives. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Trust in him, our God of abundance. And I know the Lord will bless our joyful generosity. Amen.